Morning. I'm fighting the end of a cold. Let me say first how happy I am to be here at Transylvania and how grateful I am for the welcome I've already received. And I hope you'll indulge me as a guest. I'm going to take this off because I don't want to be distracted by the tassel in the course of delivering my remarks. A cold is enough of a handicap. And although I'm listed as Seamus Carey's mentor, I think of him principally as a friend. So for Seamus, on his inauguration as your 26th president, thank you for this high honor and for the occasion it presents to speak with you briefly about three things. The importance of this inaugural event for Transylvania, the historic mission of liberal education, the character and intellect of your new president, Seamus Carey. Communities, like the individuals who form them, have a periodic need for renewal. The impetus given to them by their founding is only temporary. They are destined to grow old and perish unless they secure the loyalty of their newest members, whose energy and love are needed to sustain their common life. Transylvania is a special type of community, a community of liberal learning and teaching. To endure and flourish, it must attract each year young men and women who enter its gates as strangers and leave not long afterward as its representatives before the world. In four short years, it strives to incorporate these strangers into its practices and traditions and to inspire them by free choice to a mature life in accord with its ideals. This is, at best, an uncertain venture. Yet for more than 235 years, your college has continued to renew itself, and it maintains that tradition of renewal today. We are here together because, as a college, you want to remain fully alive. What is the specific ideal of community we hold for ourselves as liberal educators and students, and against which we measure our common life? In America today, the language of community is in danger of losing its historic meaning. At its most generous, it symbolized the achievement of unity in the midst of human diversity, as our currency proudly proclaims, "E pluribus unum," out of many one. Out of many peoples, races, and languages, one democratic republic. In the United States, this proclamation has always been a declaration of faith. It declares the ideal our national practice has never really attained. But such ideals haunt our public and private consciences. They keep us morally restless, arousing us periodically to reform and constructive change. Yet the ideal of national unity has only limited relevance for the college. The college is not a family unified by blood, nor a church unified by faith, nor a nation unified by law and territory. Since its origin in the Middle Ages, it has been a voluntary association of teachers and students in the common life of learning. It is first and foremost a community of intellect. That is its reason for being. That is the standard by which it measures the depth of its unity. Transylvania, like Vassar College, Seamus's alma mater, exists to educate young women and men in the liberal arts. It assembles and supports a faculty who are believed to be masters of those arts. It welcomes students from all regions and nations who seek the distinctive good of a liberal education. Since students rarely know at the beginning the unique nature of that good, it is imperative that their teachers be able to tell them about it. The central purpose of liberal education is to develop, refine, and discipline the human intellect. The liberal arts are the indispensable arts that make human beings intellectually mature. No one has mastered them who lacks specific linguistic, mathematical, and scientific skills, a common fund of knowledge about nature and history, a critical awareness of our different cultural traditions, cultivated habits of understanding and judgment, and a genuine reverence for learning in all its forms. We are not born with these attributes, nor do we acquire them routinely. They are the precise fruits of liberal education and the specific purpose of a liberal arts college. Although it's true, the arts and virtues of the intellect do not complete human beings, they are the primary contribution a college can make to fullness of life for its students. Schools are but one of the means of human education, and they can only do so much. But it is essential that they know what they are supposed to do, so they can measure whether or not they are doing it well. Let me therefore repeat an ancient truth whose self-evidence can sadly no longer be assumed. The primary purpose of liberal education is to develop and refine the intellectual powers of its students. The primary standard by which liberal arts colleges should be judged is the vitality and integrity of their intellectual life and the enduring qualities of mind possessed by their graduates. To achieve this end, the existence of community is essential. The mind, like the heart, requires both solitude and fellowship if its growth is to be centered and sound. Without solitude, it is impossible to achieve intellectual depth. Without shared inquiry and discussion, it is impossible to achieve wholeness and balance. At every level of this college, lively and important conversation should be taking place. These conversations should transcend the barriers that so often isolate us from each other. Frank, informed, and thoughtful discussion should be so pervasive on your campus that any visitor like myself or newcomer could discern the atmosphere of freedom such conversation creates and be attracted to join it. For free and respectful conversation is contagious, creating a tone of life and conduct that energizes what is best in ourselves. If you are truly a community of learning, as your name and history imply, then you must be united through discourse and discussion, the primary activity through which human minds find public expression. There are, of course, important forms of shared activity that are not discursive: worship, play, artistic performance, athletic, dancing, to name a few. Transylvania recognizes their rightful place in a residential college and provides spaces, as I discovered yesterday walking your campus, for their exercise and enjoyment. And clearly, the bonds of community are also strengthened through shared participation in these honored human practices. But I want to insist that with respect to a liberal arts college, they are not the heart of the matter. If such colleges do not flourish as intellectual communities, as centers of thoughtful inquiry and discourse, reaching out from the classroom, the library and the laboratory, into the dining and residence halls, and spilling over into our centers of leisure and fellowship, then we fail in the high purpose for which we were originally founded. A fashionable resort or a well-equipped summer camp has all of these other things. In our fragmented culture today, the intellect is central only in those colleges and universities which have remained faithful to the ideals of liberal education. Transylvania should always be among them. For just these reasons, you were wise to choose Seamus Carey as your new president. I first met Seamus in 1985 as a student struggling with the complexity of philosophical texts and arguments. And if you don't struggle with them, then you're not reading. Challenged by these new ways of thinking, he sought me out. This is, again, one of the great gifts of a liberal education, this easy access between students and teachers. Challenged by these new ways of thinking, he sought me out for further discussion. Like many of you, he was unsure of who he was and of where he was going. But philosophy had gained a grip on his soul, and he felt compelled to pursue it faithfully, at high risk, and with no assurance of success. This pursuit then took him to Ireland, the land of his ancestors and mine, probably our original bond, for further study, and then back to our country where he completed a doctorate in philosophy at Fordham. After he graduated from Vassar, we stayed connected through phone calls and visits. Gradually, happily, my student became my friend, and then my revered colleague in this high calling of teaching and learning. Seamus and I have known each other for 30 years. Among the thousands of students I've taught, respected, and loved, no one holds a deeper place in my heart than your president. I tell you today, with great conviction, that his company and his counsel wear exceedingly well. The years ahead will allow you to test this conviction for yourselves. But let me, before closing, cite certain virtues of character and intellect that make him distinctive. At the level of character, he has the great virtues of humility, courage, tenacity, and fidelity to promises. He keeps his word. His specifically intellectual virtues are those cultivated by years of studying and teaching philosophy, clarity of expression, respect for fundamentals, the longing for wisdom with the humility to recognize, despite the intensity of this longing, that we humans shall never really be wise. What Socrates, the quintessential philosopher, wisely called learned ignorance. Because of these mutually supportive virtues, and because of the good man in whom they've become second nature, you can trust him to lead you bravely and well in this new era of Transylvania's history. For your students, for your faculty, and for all those who love this enduring community, may this visiting stranger's quiet word of assurance continually prove to be so. Allow me to close with a poem that I wrote for an earlier occasion, but that I slightly amended for this one. It really is an attempt to summarize my remarks. It's called the invisible circle for Seamus and for so many others. For 40 years, I divided my time between solitude and fellowship. Long days and nights were spent with books, beloved and revered, reading, thinking, condensing words and things into a form that I could share with my young students. We met on holy ground, behind a heavy wooden door. Our hours together were holy hours, or so I told them and believed, and still do now that I am old and they are gone. No greater work than this, to share the world with longing youth who hope to find their way into a future they can trust, as do we all. Much older now, but still convinced that thoughtful words conceived in love can yet reveal the partial truths we need to live. I have no classes to keep me real, no fragile bonds of intense learning that form on holy ground through holy days and weeks until they end, as classes do, releasing us to go our separate ways. Or so it seems, for separate ways may yet converge, the wonder of it all, upon some distant, unimagined, holy ground. Thank you.